Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
More promising news on the vaccine front today. Johnson & Johnson says that its COVID vaccine is 66% effective at preventing moderate to severe cases of the disease. At a White House COVID task force briefing earlier today, Dr. Anthony Fauci said the results are encouraging.
There were essentially no hospitalizations or deaths in the vaccine group, whereas in the placebo group, there were. So this really tells us that we have now a value-added additional vaccine candidate that will, of course, as happens with every candidate, will present the details of their data to the FDA.
Joining us now is Dr. Dan Baruch, director of the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. He and his team have been collaborating with Johnson & Johnson on this vaccine. Dr. Baruch, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
This appears to be a pretty key step to getting a third vaccine to the American public. What should we take away from this data?
The results announced today by Johnson & Johnson report that this vaccine offers substantial protection against symptomatic COVID disease and outstanding protection against severe disease as well as hospitalizations and death.
And so I want to be clear, if you get sick after having taken this vaccine, there is a decent chance that it will not be bad enough to send you to the hospital or even kill you. Is that correct?
That's correct. So what we know is that for people who received this vaccine, even those who did get infected had a much more mild course of infection. So this vaccine showed 85% protection against severe COVID disease and 100% protection against hospitalizations and mortality.
So what would you say to people who are hearing these numbers and say, well, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine are closer to 90% effective, but the Johnson & Johnson top line number is 66%? For people who might be concerned about that, what would you tell them?
The J&J vaccine was tested in multiple countries simultaneously, as well as in a pandemic that is a much more complicated pandemic now than it was several months ago, including some regions of the world, such as the United States, that have some circulating resistant variants, and other regions of the world, like South Africa, that have predominantly resistant variants. So the ability to protect in the context of today's pandemic is a very important result.
Well, and it was just a coincidence that Johnson & Johnson happened to test this vaccine in South Africa, where that new, more dangerous strain has emerged. What more do we know about the effect that this injection would have against that variant?
There is a different protection rate seen in different countries. It was 72% effective in the United States, and it had a lower protection rate in South Africa. The choice of the locations for the vaccine trials, including in Brazil and South Africa, was made before we knew that viral variants were emerging rapidly in those geographic areas. And so it is very fortunate that now we can see protective efficacy of this vaccine in the very regions of the world where we are seeing the emergence of these concerning viral variants.
Would a new formula directed at the South African strain require a whole new set of trials?
So J&J, as well as many of the other vaccine developers, are very interested in the possibility of updating or revising their vaccines or maybe developing a boost formulation that includes the specific sequence of the South Africa variant that appears to escape partially from antibodies and may reduce vaccine efficacy. And so time will tell whether revisions or booster doses that include the actual South Africa sequence will be needed and relevant, and if so, how quickly they can be implemented.
Another big difference here is that this vaccine only requires one shot as opposed to two. It also does not need the extra cold storage of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Why is that important?
We know from a mass vaccination campaign that simplicity leads to efficiency. So the simpler the vaccine administration can be, the more successful a vaccine rollout will be, both in the United States and in particular in the developing world.
All right. So as far as the timing of that rollout goes, what's next? We know it has to go to the Food and Drug Administration for authorization, but how soon could this be widely available in the United States?
So Johnson & Johnson is planning to apply to the FDA for emergency use authorization in the coming days. And if the FDA approves this vaccine under emergency use authorization, then it potentially could become available towards the end of February of this year.
Dr. Dan Baruch, Director of the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. Dr. Baruch, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.